2020. And I'm going to take a quick roll call. We have Representative Foster, Representative Bonholz, Senator Stedman, President Diesel, Senator Hulikowski, Representative Josephson, and online we have Senator Natasha Von Imhoff and Senator Bishop, our Vice Chair. So let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to do business. I'd also want to thank Butch Carver and from Records and Brett Collins from the State Information Office for helping us with this meeting today. I also want to thank everyone for being online and being flexible for today's meeting. The first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Senator Bishop, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, sir. Are you in the building, in the room?
Yes, and we're all members are present that I announced, with the exception of Senator Von Imhoff and yourself.
If you would mind, could you go back through the House members? I could barely hear, and I only heard the Senate members, and I barely heard the audio on that. So okay. Who's the House members there?
I have Representative Bonholz, Representative Josephson, and Representative Foster, and then myself, Chair Representative Tuck.
Okay, very good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so where we're at right now is the first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes of February 28, 2020 meeting as presented.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the minutes from the meeting from February 28, 2020 are approved. Our next order of business, we will go into executive session for the fiscal year 19 statewide single audit. And we are recessed until we can secure the room. For us to go into executive session?
Yes, sir. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B3. Discussion of matters may, by law, be required to be confidential for the purposes of discussing this confidential audit report under AS24.20.301. I ask that the following persons remain in the room or on the phone lines: the legislative auditor and necessary staff for the auditor, any legislators not on the committee, and staff or legislators who are members of the committee.
Are there any objections? There are no objections. We will go into executive session after a brief at ease to clear the phone lines in the room here in Juneau. So we're at ease. To call the committee back to order, it is now 10:07. And at this time, I would like to entertain a motion. Vice Chair Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that the state of the Alaska single audit for fiscal year ended June 30, 2019 be released as the final public report.
Okay, and just for the record real quick before we take that roll call vote, if we need to, I just want to put on record that we still have Senator Wilikowski with us. We have Representative Foster, Representative Bonholz, Senator Stedman, Representative Josephson, our Senate President Giesel online. We have Senator Von Imhoff. We have Vice Chair Bishop. We have Representative Johnston. And then joining us also is Speaker Bryce Edgman, and then myself, Chair Tuck. If you don't mind, Vice Chair, would you please restate the motion?
Yes, and before I do that, did you mention Senator Wilikowski?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that the state of Alaska single audit for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2019 be released as a final public report.
Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing no objection, the State of Alaska single audit for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2019 is released to the agencies for response. Okay, our next item
on today's agenda is to take up the special audit requests. The first request we'll take up is my audit for a follow-up to the 2018 Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority audit. And if I may, I'm going to have my staff, Aura Hawk, here with us to go over this present request. I also want to note that the executive summary for the 2018 audit and the final report from the authority are also in the packet for members' information. And we also have, we've got Chris Curtis still in the room with us also to answer any questions that the committee may have. Ms. Hawk.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The special audit request today is a follow-up request for the 2018 Mental Health Trust Authority special audit that was released that found that the Trust Authority was not transferring funds that were meant to be transferred to the Mental Health Trust Fund that is managed by the Permanent Fund Corporation and used that money instead to purchase real estate and in violation of statute and the Weiss v. State settlement. And the 2018 audit had four recommendations, and per the budget last year, there was an intent language that asked for a final report in November. That report is attached to your packet, and the authority in that report says that they have dealt with all of the recommendations. So this request basically follows up on that, makes sure that the actions were taken and that they were taken in a manner that complies with law. And also that any of the policies or procedures they had in place that allowed them to perform these actions have been updated.
Any questions? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's a good idea to do a follow-up on this, but I'd like to also add on item number four, where it says other address other issues concerned identified by legislative audit during the audit. I'd like an update on their holdings that were in question. The holdings, the real estate holdings? Because this looks like we're looking at, moving, checking the cash that moved around to make sure the cash is where it's supposed to be, and then the policies, item three, the policies, but it'd be nice to have you touch on the each asset to see where they are, the classification of them. There seems to be a reluctance let me reword that. I think we should make it clear the expressed interest we have in getting this to final resolution and it doesn't hang out for another 10 years as they hold particular assets outside of their preview. So it'd be nice to, figure out when we're going to be able to get this completely buttoned up and off everybody's desk.
And I agree. It would be nice to have a list of the assets to see, what we have, what they purchased, and what we have, and then to a conclusion. Ms. Curtis.
Just for clarity, through the chair, Chris Curtis, for the record, the legislative auditor, just so I know exactly how to word the amendment the addendum to this, are you okay with saying provide a current status of the real estate holdings?
Yeah.
Okay.
And mental health's intent. Or what's their intent of the assets still held? Something along those lines.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, if I can kind of halfway restate it, is the addendum would be adding to line item four to also give us the current status of the real estate holdings and the intent of the board to do with those holdings.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. All righty. Adding that on there, I don't think it's a motion required to add that on there. I'll just go ahead and add it on there. Any other further discussions or questions on this audit request? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the Chair's request for an audit of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Okay, hearing and seeing no objections. The committee has approved the request for an audit of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority with the requested addendum to item number four. Okay, the next special audit request for our consideration is an audit of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights. Mr. Wright, if you want to join us. So we got Tom Wright, who is staffed to Senator Mia Castillo. He is coming to the table right now to present the request on behalf of Representative Castillo. We also have Chris Curtis here to answer questions for anybody online.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright, staffed to Senator Castillo. The request outlines the reason why the request was made, and I can go over those real briefly if you'd like for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
First, to determine whether the Human Rights Commission is investigating complaints timely, to determine how many and what type of complaints are investigated, how many days it takes to resolve complaints, and the reason for delayed resolutions. Another reason is to determine whether the commission is investigating complaints in accordance with the internal policy promptly, as outlined in state law, that requires the commission to informally investigate the matters set out in a filed complaint promptly and impartially. Next, to gain an understanding and report on the commission's work sharing agreement with the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Next, to identify and report the steps taken by the commission to seek out and eradicate discrimination. And last, Mr. Chairman, to determine the current status of prior audit recommendations.
Any questions for the requester? Yes, President Giesel.
So perhaps this is a question for Ms. Curtis, but when was the last audit done of this commission?
Ms. Curtis.
For the record, this is Chris Curtis, the State Legislative Auditor. There are two prior audits, on a fairly comprehensive audits of the same organization with similar objectives. One was completed around the year 2000, and one was completed around the year 2011.
And if I may, Ms. Curtis, is it pretty much the same scope, or we added some additional information?
Similar,
okay. Any further questions? Representative Bonholtz.
Yeah, Ms. Curtis, were there any findings in either of those, and what were they?
Through the chair, Representative Sponholz, I don't remember exactly. Yes, there were findings. They had to do with certain actions to help with the timeliness of the cases. That objective number five, they were required to seek out, but they weren't doing many actions because they were too busy trying to get their cases caught up. Mm-hmm. So I remember that.
And if I may, Ms. Curtis, do you remember how long it took them to close their complaints at that time, reflecting back?
No, I don't. It all depended. There were sometimes years delays.
Okay, thank you. Any other further questions? Yes, Representative Josephson.
I'll just take the opportunity to mention that my office has carried a bill to expand the jurisdiction of the commission to include nonprofits. So currently, there are about 40,000 Alaskans who would have to take any discrimination claim to the EEOC. The bill isn't something we've pushed vigorously, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to mention that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other further questions or discussions? I just want to comment that I appreciate Senator Castillo bringing this forward because I would like to see how we're doing in this area as well. Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the Senator Costello's request for an audit of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights.
Hearing and seeing no objection, the request from Senator Costello for an audit of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights has passed. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I am bringing to the table a letter dated March 26, 2020, related to a contract that was entered into by this committee on, it looks like, March 19th with a Ms. Lisa Weisler. The purpose of the contract, as stated, is evaluating the sale of BP assets to Hilcorp, broadly. Mr. Chairman, while it is true that the committee chairman for Legislative Budget and Audit has signature authority to enter into contracts without the notification of committee members, that certainly is available, I am concerned about this particular contract based on the individual that was chosen to do it, number one, and number two, on the jurisdiction of the legislature over private sector financial exchanges, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, President Giesel. Well, we talked about this in House Resources and trying to get some information, just really an understanding of the legislature's role. And I don't have the contract in front of me, please forgive me. But my memory serves me right. It's basically on what the legislator's role is. We're not doing any audits or any investigations on the individual companies, but just basically looking at the information that that we should have in making any decisions on behalf of the state, as well as what our role is as a legislature. I also have some questions a little bit more on the DRNR. I want to say account, but it's really not even an account. It just seems like a big giant IOU and how that functions. I only recently learned that that's not an account, that that is a it's not even a bank transaction. It's not even a, it's just really a book entry. And so just kind of figuring out how that how that works in relationships to tariffs through the pipeline and whether they're able to deduct that. So I personally had a lot of questions, but beyond that, resources had a lot of questions. Senator Stedman.
Yes, this was a new issue to me till a couple days ago. But we have LBNA staff. Why can't they figure this out? You know, as a focus, as far as if the question is, what's the role of the legislature, and or do we have any role in reviewing you know, private parties' commercial transactions in general, and then I guess in this one in specific, but between Ledge Legal and LBNA staff, why would we have to bring in somebody from the outside to tell us something that sounds to me it's pretty rudimentary and, quite frankly, not very complex as far as our role?
Yes, I actually, I was thinking about using one of our other consultants. One of the things I was looking at is, you know, we could have asked Ruggiero's, we could have asked Gaffney Klein to give us the same information. The difficulty I had was the rates that we were paying for those consultants. I wanted to save them for more higher stuff. And then also the ability to be here in Juneau and be able to look at it a little bit further. I only recently met Lisa Weisler. I know that she had worked in the building before, Legislative Aid, but I never really had any interactions with her. But I understand that she's worked for the Department of Law, worked for the Palin administration, and was very knowledgeable on oil and tax issues. And so I hired her to look into this a little bit further.
This is Natasha. Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead. Senator Von Himhoff, and then I'll take Representative Sponholz after that.
Okay, thank you. So I am looking at the contract right now, and I see Clause 1, Statement of Scope of Work, Section 3, and it states identification of state statutes that may be amended or added to help protect the state's interest in future transfers of Alaska oil and gas assets. To me, that gets a little bit more granular than what's the state's role. It seems to be, well, hey, let's see if we can manipulate, or let's see if we can somehow, you know, before this transaction goes through, change our statutes so we can, you know, increase or decrease the cash that may be coming to the state. To me, that's beyond the scope that you originally described a few minutes ago. Okay. That statement concerns me.
Okay, and if I may, I just want to say that I think those are recommendations for any possible legislation, really to protect Alaska's best interest. You said something about cash or seeking cash. I don't think that was the intent of, and I don't have it in front of me, but my intent was just to make sure that Alaska is being protective, especially with the DRNR situation. But I just want to make sure Alaska is protecting our interests as we move forward.
Well, follow-up question then?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it says identification of state statutes that may be amended or added to help protect the state's interest in future transfers. Again, it just seems a little pointed. And what are states' interests? Is this monetary? Is this, when you say states' interests, how is that defined? And why would we want to change statutes? Are we being reactive to a specific sale? And that's what my concern is because we may have sales all the time, whether you have oil search to Armstrong and things of that nature. You know, I don't recall us having an audit for that. So how is this, because it's bigger, you know, what are states' interests? So I just think that this just seems a little odd to me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And it is pretty general. It's pretty open. So it's not very specific. And you mentioned monetary again, and I didn't read that into it, just basically making sure that we're taking care of Alaska's best interest. Representative Sponholz.
Well, actually, you know, you addressed my question earlier. My question was, does Ms. Weisler have special expertise to contribute? And it sounds like she does have special expertise. It's also my understanding that she's done a lot of research into oil and gas law, and therefore her background sort of uniquely prepares her to do a fairly quick but substantive analysis for the legislature. And I think given, you know, the significance of, I understand Senator Von Imhoff's concern about, you know, being sort of reactive to a specific individual field and company, but given the importance of the North Slope to our state's balance book, it's important that we have a very clear understanding of what sort of the risks are to the state of Alaska going forward. And I think having some additional information and analysis for the legislature could be useful.
Okay, thank you, Representative Sponholz.
Chair Tuck.
Yes, go ahead, Vice Chair Bishop.
So, getting back to Senator Von Imhoff, sorry, still groggy. Question: this is a prospective in what she just described, and not concerning the immediate sale.
And that's the way I see it too. It's a learning opportunity for us, is the way I see it.
So the second thing, my last comment is, we had our October meeting on this issue, and Commissioner Feige's shop, if we remember back from that meeting, I mean, they're going to scrub this from A to Z, and I think the Commissioner of Revenue is going to have as much say whether this sale, if it's going to go through as anybody. But anyway, that's just my two cents.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Senator Stedman.
I want to make just a couple points. Just broadly speaking, if you look at that, when the day comes for the demolition and restoration of the oil fields, area, basically north of Pump Station, and east and west of Pump Station 1. Not so much the taps. That's, I think, been arranged in this transaction. But the major field, how that is structured and going to be viewed over the next several decades or 100 years or however long it's going to be, 50 years, who knows. But at some point, all that infrastructure is going to have to be removed, all the gravel pads picked up, all the roads, all that stuff. I think that is something that, you know, we'd have an interest in understanding. And then on the interpersonal skills in relationships between the two bodies, I'd recommend that, you know, whenever the chairman of either the LBNA or Ledge Council decide to exercise their authority on entering into contractual arrangements for studies and work being done, that they make sure they integrate that discussion with their vice chairman, whoever that happens to be. And there's always good communication between the two bodies because these are joint committees. Things work better. And I don't know what kind of communication you had with the vice chairman or even at the staff level, but that's just a general comment of the relationship between the two bodies dealing with the two committees. They both have different, you know, goals and objectives and parameters and all that other stuff, but it's, we have had, and you're not, I'm not talking about you, I'm going back well over a decade. We had a chairman at one time of LBNA that basically handed over all our consultants to the administration, left the next chairman, who happened to be a House chairman at the time, the following one, guy's name started with R, last name with S, left him with no files. And it was a mess, and we don't want to have that ever happen again, transferring from one body to the next also.
Well, thank you, Senator Stedman. That's very good advice. I'll definitely do that in the future. Thank you. President Giesel.
So getting back to the contract, focusing on the present, though I appreciate the history. You mentioned, Senator Stedman mentioned communication between both bodies. The Joint Resources Committees held a two-hour, it may have been longer, may have been 2.5-hour meeting on this very subject. It must have been near the beginning of March. Let's see, we're at the end of March now. Perhaps it was in February, actually. We had Department of Natural Resources, of course, who has jurisdiction over this. And I recall DEC was also involved on this subject. The records are, of course, contained on our website, as well as the handouts. This contract does not call out DRNR, but it was extensively discussed during that joint hearing. Mr. Chairman, I look at this audit, and it is very vague. It does not call out the legislature. It is not specific to DRNR. That's number one. The contract is extremely vague. My second concern is related to impartiality. So we just approved an audit for the State Commission for Human Rights. And in that audit, item number three, the requester of this audit calls out that these investigations need to be done promptly and impartially. I'm all for impartial audits, Mr. Chairman, but I would offer that the individual that you've selected has published many opinion pieces related to negative perspective toward our oil companies. This person has been involved in a great deal of public testimony against our oil resource extraction policies and has printed documents in the past as a legislative aide to this body. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm all for impartial research, contracts, etc. I have huge concerns about this one, and in the future, I, as a member of this committee, would certainly like to know before something like this went public. There was a letter sent to, it looks like a myriad, well, 2, 4, 6, 8, looks like about 10 agencies here in the state that has my name on it as a member of the committee. And so I guess I would have liked, I don't guess, I would have liked to have known that before the letter went out and the contract was finalized. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, President Giesel. Thank you for your comments. I'd be more than happy in the future to let you know of any contracts that we may be looking into or going forward with. But it doesn't really take a vote of the committee, so I'm sorry that your name is on that if you didn't want your name on that. And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like there's more of a problem with the person I selected than it is with trying to find the information.
That is incorrect, Mr. Chairman. That is incorrect. As I said, I have no problem with doing impartial audits. This subject, however, was extensively reviewed by a joint committee of the legislature, and it's not very specific. I mean, you've identified what specifically you were looking for, but that is not stated in the contract.
And before I turn over to Senator Rulikowski, we did have a joint resources committee, but we didn't have any information compiled in one report, and that's what I'm looking to do here. And there was a lot of open-ended questions that weren't answered in that committee. Senator Rulikowski.
Do you have Ms. Weisler's background by chance? Can you maybe talk about her expertise in this area?
I really don't know much about Lisa Weisler except that she was a oil and gas attorney working for the Palin administration. She had worked for different legislators here in the building. As far as some of her reports or some of her testimony, I can't speak about. Yes,
and I've had interactions with her, and if there were negative comments about the oil industry that were referenced, I'd be interested in seeing those. I know she's an excellent attorney. She's worked for the state for a number of years. She's presented, I think, comprehensive, well-researched testimony. I've never perceived anything as being negative towards the oil industry. She just calls it the way she sees it. So I don't see any impartiality at all from my perspective.
And I think we'll see that from the report if there is any impartiality in it. I just want to look at the facts. I just want to see what the state's role is and what the legislature's role is. And maybe I could have done a better job of doing that through our audit team and through, who's the other, Senator Stebbins, who was the other group?
Vice Chairman.
And also letting the Vice Chairman in on this, but yeah. Yes, Representative Josephson.
It's for $10,000. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is for $10,000, which is under the signature authority of the chairman. That is established policy.
Any further discussions? Any further comments? Thank you for the advice. Thank you for your concerns, sharing the concerns. I appreciate it. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Hearing and seeing no other business in front of the committee, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee is adjourned at 10:37. Thank you.